بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وعظيمنا وحبيب قلوبنا وشفيع نفوسنا أبي القاسم محمد، اللهم صل. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين وأصحابه الغر الميامين. الحمد لله الذي جعلنا من المتمسكين بولاية سيدي ومولاي علي بن أبي طالب. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. أما بعد، لا فتى إلا علي ولا سيف إلا ذو الفقار. The first of our salawat in honor of Rasulullah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The second in honor of Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. Allahumma salli. The third with your loudest voices in honor of the Imam of our time, Imam Sahib al-Asr wa al-Zaman. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Respected scholars, brothers and sisters, salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Chivalry is embodied in one man, Ali, son of Abu Talib. Chivalry is translated in the Arabic language with the word futuwa and is defined as the moral upright state of an individual between the period of adolescence and the age of 40. The chivalrous are always revered as being people of virtue. In some cases, they are seen as being a composite of virtues. When someone is described as being chivalrous, it means that in the most difficult period of their life, between the age of 15 and the age of 40, that person maintained their values in every which way possible. They were forgiving, sincere, courageous, morally upright, at a time when everybody around them was mischievous and rebellious. You find that this particular state of chivalry is one which is mentioned throughout the Quran. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala admires seeing nothing more than somebody in the most difficult periods in their life remaining courageously on his path. You know, for many of us, between the age of 15, let's say adolescence, and the age of 40, many of us were not the most religious people in the world. There are some of us who completely strayed from the path. It's not easy to remain chivalrous, meaning to remain sincere on the path of God at that age. If you were to ask many Muslims today, that in the age of 15 till the age of 20, 25, 30, how religious were you? You'll find that many of you will tell you that I dabbled in substances which I shouldn't have, that I went to places that I shouldn't have, that I indulged in relationships which I shouldn't have. In some cases, I didn't even pray or fast in those ages. There are many Muslims who have in the world today qada on them because of the number of prayers they missed in that period. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when seeing anyone in that period remain on his path, seeks to highlight just how great an achievement that is. Because Nabi Musa alayhi salam asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is chivalry? And he replied to him that you return yourself to me in the way you took yourself from me. What does that mean? That in the same way that I created you pure, I want you to return yourself as pure as the way that I created you. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us, He created us without a single black dot on our resume. The highest level within the religion of Islam is returning yourself pure back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You find that chivalry, therefore, within the religion of Islam, in our communities today, can be achieved at a very basic level if you open the door for one of the sisters. That is chivalrous at a basic level. If you're seeing an old lady on the bus or on the train standing up while you're sitting and you decide to give her your chair, that is chivalrous. If you take somebody out for a meal and you end up paying that bill, either you've been conned or you're chivalrous. Chivalrous, therefore, is when a person seeks to be a person who's sincere, someone who's morally upright, someone who's compassionate, kind-hearted, but also at the same time, somebody who courageously protects their religion at their most difficult times. That's why in Islamic law, taklif and following God's law begins from adolescence. Many of us, when you become baligh, when you become adolescent, these acts that become obligatory on you, many people say, why do I have to pray salah from the age of 15? Let me mess about for a few years, enjoy a bit of haram, and then I'll go to hajj, Allah will wipe it all off me. That was the mentality for many, as in many used to go to hajj in their 40s and 50s. You ask them why, and there were two groups. One group would say to you that I was waiting for the visa for many years. Them you give the benefit of the doubt. Then there was another group who blatantly would say to you, I wanted to enjoy my youth, then go to hajj when life got boring afterwards. You found that Islam, on the contrary, said no. The greatest of you is the one who can maintain their moral uprightness between the age of 15, let's say, and the age of 40. And that's why this word chivalry in the Quran can be seen throughout. You look, for example, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. When Nabi Ibrahim spoke out against the idols of the idol worshippers of his time, he was young. And you'll notice many of the greatest people in Islamic history achieved what they achieved in their 20s or their 30s, including the man we honor tonight. You see that Nabi Ibrahim was young, he was courageous, morally upright, had never put a foot wrong. When he spoke out against the idols of his time, when the people wondered, who is it that broke all these idols? When he broke all the idols and kept the big one, the people wondered, who is it that broke these idols? The reply was interesting. They didn't just say a young man broke them. They said a chivalrous young man. قَالُوا سَمِعْنَا فَتْهًا فُتُوَّ قَالُوا سَمِعْنَا فَتْهًا يَذْكُرُهُمْ يُقَالُ لَهُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ. We heard of a young man. Why did they say we heard of a young chivalrous man? Because when someone's religious when they're young, that's an achievement. To be religious when you're old and ugly, anyone can be religious when they're old and ugly. There are many out there, when they get to 50 and 60 and you find them turning and becoming religious, what's the point? The qabr is around the corner from your life. As in, no wonder you've become religious. And you don't need to even, in some cases, if you're going to go to hajj at that age, you're going to probably die at Muzdalifah anyway. And if you've got some who are wearing hijab at 55, 60, it wasn't even that obligatory at that age for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that age turns around and says, there's no need for you to cover anything else anymore. Well, you find that when Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, from that young age, the people said, سَمِعْنَا فَتَنْ يُقَالُ لَهُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ. We heard a young boy, young man, no, chivalrous young man. Courageous against the whole of those around him, he managed to stand up. Likewise, sometimes it's not just one of you who is chivalrous, it could be a group of you. Because sometimes in your community, you may find that a lot of your friends aren't that religious. You're trying to be religious, then one of your friends tells you, listen, forget this religious way. Next year we'll go majalis, we'll do 10 nights, Allah will forgive what we've done. If a group of you get together and become chivalrous, Allah promises, I'm the one who will help guide you if you all come together. You look at Ashab al-Kahf in the Quran. Allah made it clear with them that when they all stood up against the king of their time, there were only 7-8 of them. The whole community was not religious. They didn't care. I don't care if the whole community is not religious. I'm young. I've got energy. God's looked after me. He's blessed me. I've got family around me. Things are going cool in life. Why can't I stick to my Lord? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about them in the Quran and He says, Innahum fityatun. Fata, fitya, futuwa. Innahum fityatun. آمنوا بربهم وزدناهم هدى. They were a group of chivalrous youth. Not youth. Chivalrous youth. They held it up, as we say, in the middle of a lack of religiosity. Because sometimes people complain, I'm not religious because of the country I live in. Have you seen how irreligious our countries are? As in, it's easier to be religious, I think, in Canada than it is in some of our countries. You go to some of our countries, your cousins are surprised you pray. Your cousins are surprised you don't listen to certain types of music. Your cousins are surprised that you want to read books about Ahlul Bayt. In Toronto, you can pack a majlis with youths like you who are lovers of Ahlul Bayt. There are parts of countries we live in, the youth don't come inside the mosque. They'll tell you blatantly, listen, all this mosque and Maulana stuff, this all repeat the same year. I'm not interested in going inside. Therefore, when it came to this area of chivalry, Islam stressed on it that if you're able to be somebody who's morally upright, courageous, forgiving, sincere at a young age, then the rewards for you are the highest rewards. And one man in Islamic history embodied the meaning of chivalry. Tonight, let's dissect Ali ibn Abi Talib's chivalry in order that we're able to understand how he can be a role model for us. And I'd like to do this in the following stages. The line, La Feta Illa Ali. There is no chivalrous youth except Ali. On which occasion was this said and for what reason? Number two, which battle highlighted how morally upright he was in the face of the most arrogant warrior in Arabia? Number three, how did he highlight his spirituality was more important to him than lifting great doors? And how did he tell that to his wife when he came home? Number four, how important was the lady he married in installing chivalry into the children? And therefore, how important are our decisions for marriage when it comes to the future of our children? And number five, how did Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas learn the art of chivalry from his dad? And in which battles did his dad show him have a balance between bravery and humility, and you become the perfect human being? Let's examine this and dissect the topic in depth. Many people ask the question, the phrase, La Fata Illa Ali, Wa La Sayfun Illa Dhulfiqar. Many ask, when was this said? Because we see this in many places, sometimes in people's house, sometimes on the sword itself, sometimes on people's hands. We see this in many places, that we see, La Fata Illa Ali Wa La Sayfun Illa Dhulfiqar. This statement, where was it made? It was made when Ali ibn Abi Talib was 25 years of age. Notice that number. Because when I'm 25, I have to ask myself, what have I given back to the religion of Islam in my 20s? Have I been a perfect role model? Because Ali, for some, they imagine him as a man in his 50s or in his 60s. You find that Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib's greatest moments in his life were in his youth. In his youth, he showed an example of courage, humility, sincerity, like none had shown before him. And especially on the day of Uhud. Why the day of Uhud? Hind, the mother of Muawiyah, was angry with what took place at the Battle of Badr. Her father, Utbah bin Rabi'ah, had been killed. Her brother had been killed. Abu Sufyan was not at Badr. Abu Sufyan was at Mecca when the battle happened. She sat with Abu Sufyan and said to him, there is going to be a revenge that I want. And there's three that I want revenge on. Which three? She said, Muhammad, son of Abdullah, the prophet that they admire. Ali, son of Abu Talib. Hamza, son of Abdul Muttalib. These three I want dead. And I'm going to do anything to make sure that they're dead. At that time when she said that, she was sitting, there was like a barbecue around them. All of them are relaxing, there's some food. At that moment, she was looking at the time, what they have is their spear throwers. Spear thrower on the battlefield for them was fundamental. They had the spear thrower. She saw the spear thrower throw the spear through a hole this big on top of one of the dancers in front of her. She said to him, come here. He said, what is it? She said, what's your name? He said, I am Wahshi. Wahshi means ferocious. She said to him, and are you able to kill anyone? He said to her, put an animal yards away from me, as much as you want, and watch the way my spear pierces into that animal. She said to him, very well. She said to her husband, this time I'm coming to war. I'm coming. Amr ibn al-As's wife is coming. And Khalid ibn al-Walid's sister's coming. All of us will come to Uhud. I want Muhammad dead. I want his body ripped into pieces. In a few nights, I'm going to look at the laws of mutilation in Islam. Can you mutilate a body on the battlefield? She said, I want Muhammad's body ripped. I want Ali's body ripped. I want Hamza's body ripped. And she said, I'm going to come. And you know what I'm going to do at Uhud? I'm going to dance for the men at Uhud. And I'm going to dance around the idols. Because I want to see who the masculine men are on that day. I don't like defeat. And I do not like to see that the men of Mecca are weak. So she came. Amr ibn al-As's wife came. Khalid ibn al-Walid's sister came. 4,000 of them came to the Battle of Uhud that day. When those 4,000 came, Rasulullah had gathered all of his soldiers. He said to them, listen, we won at Badr, but don't take things lightly. When we go into battle, number one, we don't want to fight. This is us defending ourselves. Number two, we are doing this for the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nobody else. We are not here for the booty of war, because your niyyah, when you come to war, your niyyah is either I've come to serve and defend, or I've come because there's a horse that guy's got over there, which I hope I can snatch when he dies. There was a guy who came to the battlefield. They told the Prophet, look how sincere he is. It turns out, no, this guy had come because the opposition had a donkey of his. So he was like, you know what? Wallah, I'm going to get that donkey back today. And so you've come here, fi sabilillah. As in when the ayahs come and say, defend yourself. It says, وَقَاتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ الَّذِينَ يُقَاتِلُونَكُمْ. Fight in the way of Allah, those who fight you. Yes. You don't come for your own sake. So the Prophet said to them, 50 of you remain on the mountain with me and on front of the army, Hamza, son of Abdul Muttalib, Ali, son of Abu Talib, Mus'ab, son of Umar. These will be at the front of the battle. When they came, those guys had 4,000 and the army of the Prophet begun with 1,000, but then Abdullah bin Ubay the hypocrite took about 300 away from them, 750 against 4,000. When they came at the front of the battle, Abu Sufyan had a man by the name of Abu Talha. This guy, Abu Talha, may Allah, well, I shouldn't really say bless his wife, but she gave birth to 8-9 soldiers, 8-9 sons. And they had been hired by Abu Sufyan specifically on that day to fight Ali, son of Abu Talib. He said, if you finish Ali, you can finish Muhammad's army. The rest of them will run. You don't need to worry about that. Hind was sitting down. She said to Wahshi, she said to him, are you ready? He said, yes. She said, they've got young and old. Muhammad, how old was Rasulullah on the day of Uhud? He was 53 years of age. Yes. He was 53, some say 55. She said, some of them are old, but some of them are young. Ali, son of Abu Talib, religious, 25 years of age. He firmly believes in Muhammad's God's message. But he's a sincere individual. He's humble as well. Finish him up for me. Wahshi said, who do you want finished first? She said, finish Muhammad first. He went out on the battlefield. He looked around. He came back to her. He said, it's going to be difficult. Said to her, why? Said, because he's got too many soldiers around him. It's difficult to get that spear through. If there's a space, I can get it through. She said, how about the young man? He said, the young man, let me go out and look. He went out. He came back. He said to her, as for Hamza, I can kill him. Because when he fights, his sword is open. You can get the spear through. The young man, it's impossible to kill. And nobody will kill him in war. He said, sorry? He said, nobody will kill him in war. He won't die on a battlefield. So what do you mean he won't die? He said, that young man has eyes at the back of his head on a battlefield. He's a unique individual. If you throw a spear and he's not looking at it, he turns around and holds it as it's about to hit him. The insight that he has for a young man, I have never seen in my life. Because when a young man turns to Allah, Allah opens his heart. Allah reveals the veils, removes the veils from him. She said to her, listen, that young man will never die. And subhanAllah, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, they could only kill him like cowards in sujood.
True.
Nobody could kill him on the battlefield. That young man, what happened? Wahshi came in the middle of the battle. He ripped Hamza with the spear. The moment he ripped Hamza, some of the companions of the Holy Prophet thought, you know what? We've lost this war. The difference in chivalry between Ali and others is Ali doesn't care if their war is being lost, because you continue sincerely for the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing gets in your way. When there's an earthquake of desires around me in life, an earthquake of pressures telling me, take off your hijab, telling me, smoke this substance, drink this drink, nothing's going to kill me. Nothing's going to destroy me. I'm going to remain firm. Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, in that battle, made it clear that you can attack, you can run away. And many of these companions run away. The Quran says, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرَّسُلُ أَفَإِنْ مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلَ انْقَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ. Muhammad is but a messenger. Messengers have come before him. If he dies, or rather he is killed, you run away like this. They ran away, leaving the Prophet where? They left the Prophet on Mount Uhud. Alone on Mount Uhud. Khalid ibn al-Walid smelt blood. Khalid ibn al-Walid went from around the mountain, sees these guys running away, sees others trying to get the booty of war. He came around the mountain. Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen, at the age of 25, looked at this chance. He saw hundreds of soldiers coming towards the mountain. He saw his Prophet alone on that mountain. When he saw his Prophet alone, him, Al-Miqdad ibn al-Aswad, Abu Dujan al-Ansari, a couple of women, would you believe? And the Arabs used to bury their daughters. Now it was the daughters who end up defending the men. Yes. The couple of women came. Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib had just got married to Fatima al-Zahra before that battle. She ended up treating over 60 wounds on his body that day. He laid his body and soul for the religion of Islam at the age of 25. Khalid ibn al-Walid and those around him tried their hardest to finish him. All they wanted is, if we could get through him, we'll finish him. Talha, a son of Abu Talha, all the other sons tried to finish him. He managed to victoriously save the religion of Islam at that day. When he saved the religion, the Holy Prophet came up to him. He said to him, I just heard a call from the heavens. What was that call? I heard a call from Jibreel saying, لا فتى إلا علي ولا سيف إلا ذو الفقار. Yes, Allahumma sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is no chivalry in the whole of Arabia like the son of Abu Talib. And there is no sword like ذو الفقار. Why the word فتى? Why does Allah through Jibreel have to say لا فتى إلا علي? Because it wasn't just about being 25. The sincerity and the courage at the age of 25 was unique. That many around him thought about running away. Many around him got scared. But the uprightness, and this is a message for all of us, because sometimes in your 20s, that's the period you start wavering religiously. That's the period you start thinking, you know, shaitan's telling me do this, do that. Imam showed that Uhud was a metaphor. When you're wavering, maintain that chivalry within you. And that's why many of the scholars say his greatest moment of chivalry came in the Battle of Khandaq. Why? Because when Amr ibn Wud came out, Amr ibn Wud was a ferocious warrior. Khandaq showed the other side of chivalry. Not just the sword, the ability to be having patience and sincerity when fighting. Why? Because when Amr ibn Wud came out, what did Amr ibn Wud say? Oh, Muhammad's army, where are you? 27 days, we've sieged Medina. Salman had told them to put a khandaq, a trench. Where are you guys? You all claim that you believe in Muhammad and you believe in Islam. And some of you are in your 50s and your 60s. I am Amr ibn Wud al-Amiri. Where are you? If I kill you, you go to heaven. And if you kill me, you still go to heaven. So this heaven that you believe in, why doesn't any of you come out? Come out and find me one-on-one. How many companions were alive, but none could stand up? Why? Because to have that courage to defend your religion at any time is not easy. There are many of us out there, we're scared to say we're Muslim. Some of us, because of peer pressure, we're scared to say we're Shia. Some of us are scared to even admit what sect we are. Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib turned around and said, wait, have some chivalry about you. Where's your futuwa? He turned around, and you know, in Western circles, in ancient literature, a chivalrous knight was a noble knight, a brave knight, but one with principles. Yes, he came out to him. He said to him, name yourself. He said, I am Ali, son of Abu Talib. How old? 28 years of age. Said to him, Abu Talib, Abu Talib, Abu Talib, your dad was a good friend of mine. I'm not going to kill you. He said, but you're an enemy of Allah. I'll kill you. He looked at him. He said to him, you're going to kill me? He said, yes. He said, your arrogance, the arrogance is too much. We're not going to remain silent on this arrogance. Why have you besieged Medina? What have we done wrong to you? You've listened to Abu Sufyan to come and attack innocent people's homes. I'm not going to sit there and watch this. He said to him, very well. Are you ready for this war? They began the war. Within this one war, Ali ibn Abi Talib showed every side of chivalry possible in the human being at that age. Firstly, the companions were looking. They saw Imam walk away, come back, and shout Allahu Akbar. They said to him, in the middle of the battle, something happened. He said, what is it? That you just walked out and you came back. He said, Amr ibn Wid had struck me on my head. You know, when he got struck by Ibn Muljam on the 19th of Ramadan, Ibn Muljam struck him in the same place Amr ibn Wid struck him. He said to them, Amr ibn Wid struck me. I also managed to get him back. As I was about to strike him, he spat at me. A noble warrior does not strike another warrior because that warrior has angered them. He only strikes because the warrior has angered Allah. He said, my ego was telling me, he spat at you. I never strike a human because he angers me. I only strike those who anger Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's the most chivalrous moment. You know why? Because soldiers tend to have an arrogance about them. You spit at them, they'll just lash at you. He said, I walked away for a few seconds. When I walked away to make sure that the noble warrior, Muslim, moral, chivalrous in me remained. Had I struck him, then futuwa would have left me, which Allah gave me on the day of Uhud. He walked away. When he walked away, many of these soldiers ran away. The moment these soldiers ran away, he didn't chase them. They said to him, Ali, why don't you chase them? He said, I never chase a person who flees from war. Principle of chivalry. Those who run from war, let them run. No need to chase them. Amr ibn Wid's sister was sitting in the tent. They're all sitting, dancing, drinking alcohol and so on. Because her brother was known to fight warriors. She's sitting in the tent. Someone came up to her. Said, we have some bad news. Said, what is it? Said, your brother's been killed. She's like, what? Said, yes. Said, by who? Said, a young man. He's 28. Who is he? She's like, Ali, son of Abu Talib. She's like, which lion killed my brother? My brother destroys lions. Which lion killed my brother? She began to cry. She walked out of the tent crying. She said, take me to my brother's body, crying. She gets to her brother's body, crying. She sits by her brother's body. And she gets up and she smiles. And she says, I'm honored that a chivalrous young man killed my brother like Ali. Everyone's like, what? She's like, it's an honor. It's an honor the son of Abu Talib killed my brother. She's like, how can it be an honor? My brother, before he begins a battle, whispers in the ear of the person he's fighting. He says to him, if you kill me, don't take the armor and the jewelry on my chest. It belongs to the family. Please leave it on my body. She said, I want to know who the young man is. Because he's a chivalrous young man. Anyone else from Muhammad's army would have taken the armor and the jewelry and run. Whoever that young man is a noble warrior and soldier. Because my brother was arrogant to him. And even then, he left my brother's final wish and ensured that that wish happened. In that one moment, what did Imam Ali show? He showed a warrior is not just about how you use your sword. It's whether there are the principles of sincerity and humility in you when you're fighting. Because there are many warriors out there, but they decapitate, they mutilate, they're arrogant. The Imam said that armor belongs to his sister's family. Maybe they don't have anything else. If that is going to help them, make sure that that armor reaches them. And that's why when he lifted the gate of Khaybar, he came home to Fatima al-Zahra. Imagine you've just lifted this whole gate, comes home to Fatima al-Zahra, he's trying to break the bread, he can't break the bread. Said, Ali, Khaybar, you lifted the gate, now you can't lift the bread. He said, the lifting of the gate, I did for Allah. The breaking of the bread, I do for Ali. Look at the difference. When I do something for Allah, a gate which 40 cannot lift becomes lifted in 1 second. When I do things for me, then this hard bread becomes difficult for me to break. Therefore, when Imam was known as Feta, it meant that he was a chivalrous man. But he wanted this chivalry, this nobility of a knight, a man of moral standing, to continue in his family. That's why when he wanted to marry a lady who was going to be able to be a lady who represented him, he highlighted a particular message for us. That when you want to marry someone from the community, make sure you marry someone who's going to ensure that your sons and daughters come out chivalrous. Meaning what? Meaning that they'll make sure that they stress on the akhlaq of their children, the sincerity of their children, the uprightness of their children, the love of Ahlul Bayt of their children, and the courageousness to defend the religion of Islam. Today, when I see people, when they ask me, what type of girl should I look for to marry, for example? Or when you see the sisters asking, what type of guy should I look for? Look for someone who's going to instill that moral virtues within your sons and daughters. And that moral virtue, one of the greatest ways it's done is instilling the love of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam in them. Because today, when you look at some of the generations, you find that they ask you, why is my sons not chivalrous? Why aren't they brave? Why aren't they having that love for Ahlul Bayt? Ask yourself, you're taking them to the majalis of Ahlul Bayt the whole year or just in Muharram? Believe you me, there are people, the whole year, they haven't brought their sons or daughters towards majalis. When did they bring their sons and daughters? They brought their sons and daughters in Muharram only. Why Muharram only? Imam al-Jawad doesn't deserve people going to his majlis. Imam al-Kadhim doesn't deserve people going to his majlis. Imam al-Radha doesn't deserve people going to his majlis. Why in Muharram everybody wants to bring their sons and daughters, wants to instill that chivalry, but the rest of the year, the rest of those majalis are vital in instilling chivalry into our sons and daughters. Because these majalis allow them to build up an understanding of the morality of Ahlul Bayt, the courage of Ahlul Bayt, the words of Ahlul Bayt. When I see parents in the world today, you ask their sons and daughters, how many majalis have you been to this year? You'll find that many of them will turn around and say, well, you know what, I'm busy at work. How busy at work? How? Tell me, how? It's that I'm busy and you're busy. Let's see how busy at work. When are these shahadas of Imam al-Jawad? It's a Tuesday night. Okay, Tuesday night. You've got work the next day on a Tuesday night? Yes, I've got work the next day on a Tuesday night. Now that Tuesday night, the majlis begins at what time? It begins at 8:30. And what time is it going to finish? By 10 o'clock. You say to the person, so why aren't you at that majlis? Because we have work the next day. That's 1.5 hours. Imam al-Jawad sacrificed all his life for you. You can't be there in the majlis for 1.5 hours. Because when people are saying to me, why is there a lack of chivalry in our children? It's because we've now made it a routine that, you know what, we don't need to be at all the majalis. As long as I'm there in Muharram, as long as I'm there in Ramadan, that's it. These majalis of Al Muhammad, the reason they were vital was because they allowed us to return to the world of chivalry which Ali instilled, which Ahlul Bayt instilled. When you now want to get married, look for someone who's going to be pushing you towards the majalis, towards learning, because those sons will come out and daughters with the love of Ahlul Bayt. And that's why the Imam, after Fatima Zahra died, he said to his brother Aqil, I want to get married. His brother said to him, what are you looking for? He said, I want a lady who's going to give me the bravest warriors. Brave meaning what? Brave meaning with a sword? She's just going to pick up a sword? That's it? No, not brave with a sword. Brave meaning courageous. morally upright, lovers of Ahlul Bayt, of the Quran, of the Prophet. His brother Aqid said to him, wait for me 1 month, I'll find you a lady who'll give you the most chivalrous warriors. A month later, he came back to him. He said, I found someone for you. He said, who? He said, her name is Fatima, the daughter of Hizam al-Kilabiyya. He said to him, you will never have a lady who will give you sons as chivalrous as these boys. He said to him, do you know who she's related to? He said, who? He said, you know Amr bin Sa'sa'a? He said, yes, I know Amr bin Sa'sa'a. Amr bin Sa'sa'a used to be known as one of the most ferocious warriors. Do you know Mula'ib al-Asinna? He said, yes, I know Mula'ib al-Asinna, a ferocious warrior. He began to list him Umm al-Baneen's family tree. Yes. And he said to him, oh Ali, you'll see the boys that she'll give you. There will not be more courageous sons than the sons that this lady gives you. Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen, why did he choose Umm al-Baneen? It was because he wanted to make sure that Umm al-Baneen would give him those chivalrous warriors. Warriors who in their teens, in their 20s, in their 30s will uphold the teachings of the religion. And that's why you found when she gave him Abbas, you know what he'd do with Abul Fadl? He'd take Abul Fadl with him to the battlefield. Why would he take him? Because he wanted to teach him. It's not just about praying and fasting. Also have a physique about you as well. There are many Shia in the world today, even many Muslims in the world today. You look at their physique, you wonder what went wrong, really. You know, you look at their physique and you think to yourself, a gym membership is not going to cost you more than a few dollars a month. Really? Really? As in, what is chivalry? Chivalry is that someone is also physically trim, not just spiritually. Ali ibn Abi Talib was known on the battlefield. He was known as built, round. You could tell the man's looked after himself. Broad shoulders. When you describe Imam Ali, broad shoulders. When we describe Imam Ali in our majalis, salah, psalm, dua. No, no, wait. Ali ibn Abi Talib, salah, psalm, and dua. That's all great. But how was his physique? Broad shoulders. Brown, dry bread. Healthy eating. The man himself was as trim as you get. Because part of that chivalry is that one day if my religion needs me to defend the religion or to defend the Muslims, if I go to that battlefield and I'm looking at a stomach protruding up till here, even the soldier of the opposition will turn around and say, you know what, it's an embarrassment for me to even fight this person. You know, it's like... Abul Fadl, from a young age, Imam Ali would say to him, come young man, come. My Prophet said, teach your sons three things. Swimming, archery, horse riding. Why did the Prophet say this? Many of our majalis, the Prophet says, read Quran. The Prophet says, go Hajj. Why doesn't anyone talk about the Prophet, talk about your physique? I'm not telling the whole world to go and have six pack and looking exactly perfect. No. But a person has to reflect on their physique. Where's my physique heading? Wallah, in some of our mosques, you see people let go of their physique. Imam said to Abbas, young man, come with me. Horse ride. Get on that horse. And Abbas was blessed because he got the genes of his mom's side. And they are tall. Blessed with height. His dad puts him on a horse. Tells him, ride up and down. And until today, horse riding, until today, is still seen as a sign of a chivalrous, noble human being's ways. Those who ride the horses. Tells him, ride that horse. Look after yourself. Stay trim. Eat healthy. And he'd take him with him on his battles. And notably, the main battle he took him was at Safin. Because when he took him to Safin, he was highlighting, you want your son to come out chivalrous? Be sociable with your boy. Yes? Don't sit there on your WhatsApp 24/7 on the remote control and the boy is in no man's land. Take the boy where you're going. Build up their character, their moral virtues, their sociability. He said to him, you're coming with me, young man. You get up right now. Come with me. Hassan, your elder brother, is with me. Hussein is with me. Those three loved each other. Yes. Abbas was their young boy, their young brother. Abbas, son of Umm al-Baneen. Hassan and Hussein, son of Fatima al-Zahra. Their stepbrothers, they came together at Safin. Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib at Safin, Muawiyah reached the point where he said, Ali, no more. We're not going to fight Ali. If you're going to stand at the front of the wall, we're not fighting. So Imam Ali ibn Talib said, very well, I'll turn around, I'll let someone else fight. He came to Abbas. He said to him, young man, are you ready? He said to him, father, I'm ready. He said to him, young man, put a mask on. He said to him, go out on that battlefield, ride that horse. Show me the chivalrous Shi'i lover of Ahlul Bayt. It's a Shi'i, trim, physique, spiritually powerful, all in one human being. Now Abbas comes out, but they can't see him. He's young, but he's tall. He says to him, you don't tell them who you are. Because you know what the Arabs used to do? You have to announce who you are. When you come out on the battlefield, if you look on the 10th of Muharram, every companion who came out has to recite poetry saying who they are. أنا زهير وأنا ابن القيني أضربكم بالسيف عن حسيني إني أنا الحر ومأوى الضيف أضربكم في عناقكم, and so on. He came out. They looked at him and said, who are you? He turned around to his dad. Look at the obedience, the chivalry from a young age. Wallah, if this was in films in Hollywood, Last Samurai, Gladiator, everyone would be like, wow, look at the chivalry. Look how... Al-Muhammad teach all of these the tricks. Said to him, you remain. You don't say a word. He turned around to his dad. His dad said, young man, don't say anything. Who are you? Don't say anything. Third time, name yourself. Who are you? And he turned around. His dad said, tell them who you are. And he removed his mask. He said, I'm the moon of Bani Hashim, Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas. I'm the moon of Bani Hashim. They said to him in reply, there are already two moons in Ali's army, Hassan and Hussein. And he replied with the most chivalrous line, they are the sons of Muhammad, and I am the son of Ali. And it's always the role of the son of Ali to protect the sons of Muhammad. Yes. Then he said, they are the eyes, and I am the hands. It's always the role of the hands to protect the eyes. He fought ferociously in that battle at a young age. Everybody knew Abu al-Fadl. But Imam, after the battle, calms him down. How? Imam so shows that in chivalry, you're a ferocious warrior, but there has to be a humble edge to you. And the Imam would show him that, look at me. You know, Imam would walk past the house, Abbas would be with him, and Imam would see a lady, and she's cooking some food. And he's like, is there any way I can help you? Remember that Imam was the Khalifa at the time. And the lady would turn around and say, no, you can't help me with anything. He's like, please tell me. She goes, may God curse Ali ibn Abi Talib. He's like, why would you say that? She doesn't know it's him. He takes my sons to war. He is alive. My sons are dead. What an oppressive man. The Imam says, and now what? She says, I've got a couple more children. I've got no food for them. And he doesn't do anything for us. The Imam shows the young Abbas, young man, never let anyone remain thirsty for a certain period. Don't let anyone remain hungry. Whenever you hear anyone call out, Atash, Al-Atash, help them. Yeah? Don't let anyone remain thirsty. And this lady, if she's hungry, just because we've been victorious at war, doesn't mean that we neglect those who have no one to speak for them. So you know what Imam Ali would do? He'd say to a lady, don't worry, I'm sure Ali ibn Abi Talib is not that bad. He used to go every day, get some flour, make the dough bread for her every single day. She said to him, you're such a kind man. I wish I knew who you were. You've been so polite to me. Abbas, no need for us to brag about our acts. We are chivalrous men. Allah knows our niyyah. He was leaving. Her daughter was coming home. She looks, she's like, wow, Ali ibn Abi Talib's home. Why? She came to her mom. She's like, mom, did you see who came home? She's like, I don't know. He's such a genuine human being, sincere. I don't know his name. Like, that's Ali, son of Abu Talib. She's like, that's Ali? I said, that's Ali. The mom ran out saying, I beg you, forgive me. I had heard the wrong things about you. I'm so sorry. And he said to her, do not worry. I ask you to ask Allah to forgive me if I hurt you for a moment. Allah. Warrior, trim, spiritual, forgiving. All of the ingredients of chivalry. And he taught them all to Abbas. And that's why the opposition feared Abbas on the 10th of Muharram. Yes. Even in the lead up to the 10th of Muharram, they feared him. Because they knew very well, this is Ali's protege. This boy has been through the greatest samurai teachings possible in religion. His dad in his 20s was known as the Lion of Iraq. And the master, the Lion of Hijaz. And the master of the Arabs. This boy's had the best training. If he remains alive, then there is little chance for us on this battlefield. Well, you want to see Abbas' chivalry on the 10th of Muharram? It's his obedience to Hussein, meaning obedience to Allah. That's chivalry. Chivalry. Not just the battlefield, chivalry. And he tells Abu Abdullah, he comes up to him, and the lines are all famous. And we remember Bab al-Hawa'ij every year. Whenever you have a hajah you want to ask in your life, then always ask Allah through Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas. How old was Abu al-Fadl on the 10th of Muharram? How old was he? If you ask many of the Shia, how old is Abu al-Fadl? You'll find many don't know how old Abu al-Fadl was. Yeah? Abu al-Fadl, how old? 33. Chivalry between adolescence and the age of 40. You perfect morality, strength, physique, spirituality. 33. His father, 25. Ali al-Akbar, 20s. Others, young. Chivalrous all come to Karbala together. Pure nobility. And he comes to Abu Abdullah. He says, I beg you, let me fight. Please, please. They had killed Ali al-Akbar. They had killed Qasim. The narrations mention. He told Imam al-Hussein, I beg you. And Abu Abdullah will say, Abu al-Fadl, wait, remain. Chivalrous young man. He wouldn't dare to question Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam until the narrations mention the heat of Karbala began to be too much for the children of Hussein. Sukaina one side, Ruqayya the other. And the six-month-old baby wasn't even crying anymore. There is a stage where the baby doesn't even cry anymore. There's nothing to offer the baby. And the narrations mention that at this moment, one of the children screamed out, Al-Atash, Al-Atash, Al-Atash. Thirst, oh thirst, oh thirst. She screamed out. Imam al-Hussein, at that moment, he turned around to his brother Abu al-Fadl. When he turned around to him, he said to him, instead of fighting, go and get some water for them. Try and get some water from the Furat. Someone asked the question, why didn't Hussein let Abbas fight? Surely, if Abbas had fought, he would have inflicted the most damage on the opposition. You know why? Imam al-Hussein wanted the chivalry of Abu al-Fadl to be complete on the 10th of Muharram. How so? Because a chivalrous man always puts others ahead of himself. The moment he got to the water, it is the moment where his chivalry was tested one final time. You imagine for a couple of days you haven't even drank a sip of water. You're a warrior. You are a brilliant swordsman. Your dad was the best swordsman. And you get to that water, and there's a major test of your nobility and your chivalry. He lifted that water, and then he remembered Sukaina bint al-Hussein. And the moment he remembered the six-month-old, and he remembered Aba Abdullah's dry lips. But you know what else he remembered at that moment? His mom saying to him, make sure you never leave Hussein alone. At that moment, he looked at the water, and then he said, how cold this water is. But O self, after Hussein there is no survival. I want to drink this cold water and my brother drinks the syrup of death? No way. No way. That's not going to happen. He got up and from far away, Sukayna bint al-Husayn, do you know how she could tell if he was alive? The alam of Abbas. Because you can't see your uncle anymore. He's far. And she keeps telling her auntie Zainab, where's my uncle? He said he's going to the Furat. He said he's going to get some water. And her auntie Zainab would say to her, don't worry, he's going to come back. And she'll be like, auntie, can I see him, please? Even if you put me on your shoulders, I just want to see where. And the only way she can tell was by seeing the flag moving. He was alamdar. He held on to that flag. As he was returning, the narrations mention that Umar bin Sa'ad had ordered for a group of soldiers to surround him from every angle. He was holding flasks in his right hand, in his left hand. He wouldn't have a sip because a man of chivalry and a man of nobility will not drink while other humans are thirsty. Yes? He put that right hand, he collected the water, he collected it in the left hand. He's got the alam in the middle. As he returned, all of a sudden, one of the men struck a bal-fadl on his right arm. The moment they struck him on his right arm, he called out, Wallah in qata'tum yameeni, inni uhami abadan an deeni, wa an imamin sadiq al-yaqini, najla al-nabiy al-tahir al-ameeni. Wallah, if you cut off my right hand forever, I'll defend this religion and I'll defend a truthful and sincere imam, the grandson of the pure man who bought this religion. The narrations mention that he tried to hold on with his left hand because he could still hear Sukaina's whispers in his ears. When he tried to hold on with his left hand, they came and they struck the left hand of Abul Fadl. At that moment he called out, Ya nafs, la takhshay min al-kuffar, wabshiri birahmat al-jabbar, ma'a an-nabiy al-sayyid al-mukhtar, qad qata'u bibaghyihim yasari. He said, O nafs, don't be scared of these kuffar. Look at the chivalry within the man. O nafs, don't be scared of the disbelievers. Get ready for the mercy of the jabbar, where you'll return with the prophet who was the chosen one. Wallah, they've cut off my left hand. While they cut off the right, they cut off the left, he could still see. All of a sudden, the arrow of Harmala bin Kahil struck the right eye of Abul Fadl al-Abbas. Naini narrates, when I recited the Masa'ib of Abul Fadl al-Abbas one night, I returned home to go to sleep. In my dream, I saw Fatima al-Zahra. I saw Fatima al-Zahra crying. I said to her, did I say something wrong in my musibah? She said to him, no, you recited the musibah beautifully. But he said to her, then why do you cry? She said, I want you to focus on one thing. Normally when someone falls off their horse, they fall with their arms in front of them, except my beloved Abbas. He fell with no arms in front of him. The moment he fell, they began to kick him in his face. Another struck him on his head. And that moment, Sukayna turned round to Zainab. What did Sukayna say to Zainab? My auntie, I can't see the alam of my uncle anymore. The moment she heard that, Zainab fell. But the moment Abul Fadl fell, he called out, Sayyidi Aba Abdullah, I beg you, come to me. Imam al-Hussein sped out towards Abul Fadl al-Abbas, galloping with his horse. He said, how dare you, all of you, strike my brother, leave him alone. He got closer to his brother. The narrations mention he came towards the head of Abul Fadl al-Abbas. I leave all this for all of you now. He came towards the head of Abbas. He placed the head of Abul Fadl in his lap. Abul Fadl removed his head from the lap. Look at the chivalry of Abu al-Fadl. Again he placed the head in the lap. Again Abu al-Fadl removed the head from the lap. Imam al-Hussein, with the tears flowing from his eyes, he said to him, Abbas, why don't you remain in my lap? He said to him, oh my brother Abu Abdullah, in a moment, at this moment, you have my head in your lap. What will happen when Shimr has Hussein's head on his lap? Allahu Akbar. Even at that moment, there was unbelievable forbearance. The final words they exchanged with each other are words that break each of our hearts. Imam al-Hussein turned around to Abu al-Fadl. He said to him, Abbas, I have one wish from you. Abbas said to him, Abu Abdullah, I have only one wish from you. Imam al-Hussein looked towards him. He said to him, Abbas, all your life as a chivalrous man, you've said to me, Sayyidi Ya Hussein. I've never heard you call me Akhi Ya Hussein. This is an unbelievable moment. His whole life, he never once said to him, my brother. He'd always say, my master Hussein. He said to him, I beg you, once I want to hear you say, Akhi Abu Abdullah. He called him. He said to him, Akhi Abu Abdullah, my one request from you is what? What do you think the request is? I beg you, apologize to Sukaina for me. I promised her that I'll bring her the water. I apologize to her that I could not go. He said to him, let me at least take you. He said, Abu Abdullah, I beg you, don't take me. He said to him, why? What's wrong? He said, leave me here. I don't want to embarrass my sister Zainab alayhi salam. I fear what will happen to Zainab after I die. I say to him, Abu al-Fadl, had you seen the way they slapped your sister in the streets of Sham? I leave you with this narration. When Sayyidina Zainab alayhi salam and the rest of the ladies came back to Karbala, the narrations mention that when they all came back, they came to their individual beloved ones. Layla went to Ali al-Akbar, and Ramla went to Qasim. Imam Zain al-Abidin went to Imam al-Hussein's body. But Zainab began to walk towards the Furat. Allahu Akbar. When she came near the body of Abu al-Fadl, she said to him, where were you when Shimr kicked me onto the ground? Where were you? Where were you when they ripped the earrings of Sukaina's ear? Where were you when Ruqayya died next to the head of her father?